for sure. You hear me? Rishos Harabanim, on behalf of my family, I would like to take this opportunity to thank... Can't hear me? Can you hear me now? So on behalf of my family, I'd like to take this opportunity to, first of all, thank Rav Swirsky for coming out here tonight to share words of Torah with us here, and to thank Rabbi Zaks for his efforts in helping making that possible. Tonight, right after the shloshim of my Zaidi, Menachem Melech Mendel, the Moshe Chaim HaKohen, we're all gathered here to learn the Ilui Nishmasa. So we're all aware of the famous Gemara in which we learn that Tzavafos of Dovos Bekever, that when we learn the words of Torah of someone deceased, it's as if he himself is learning or saying them. He himself cannot learn, he can't do chesed or mitzvos, but rather it's our learning and our doing the mitzvos, the Ilui Nishmasa, which is a way in which we can help the neshama move to higher spiritual levels. The shiur that we have tonight is an especially appropriate way to honor the memory of my grandfather. For one, my grandfather's commitment to Torah in his lifetime was real and unlimited. I'm sure I speak for my entire family when I say that he was instrumental in instilling within us a commitment to Torah as well. Therefore, honoring his memory and learning Torah will really go hand in hand. Moreover, most people who knew my grandfather knew of how proud he was of his relationship with Rav Soloveitchik. Living in Boston, he had an opportunity to learn from the Rav, and he did not take that for granted. As many of you may have already made the connection, I would like to point out that in addition to being a Talmud Chacham in his own right, Rav Swirsky is from the Soloveitchik family, a grandson of the Rav. My brother Josh and I were each zocha to learn for a number of years by Rav Swirsky, and tonight we are all privileged to do so. The shiur tonight and our continued commitment to Torah in our lives will hopefully not only give my grandfather's neshama and aliyah, but also represent the continuation of the commitment to Torah that he instilled in us in his lifetime.
I'd like to begin tonight in Etz Hashem by exploring the question briefly: is there an obligation to have betochen, or is it just something which is laudatory, recommended, or is there actually an obligation for a person to have a sense of betochen, of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What the source for such a chiyuv, for such an obligation, is, assuming as we all intuit that there must be such an obligation, and to try to mention a few sources to begin to apply halacha lemaisa, just very practically, how that obligation to have a sense. How that obligation to have a sense of bitachon translates very practically and very concretely. My hope and my aim is not to answer all questions, but hopefully to stimulate questions that we can think about and then, as appropriate, as necessary, bring to the qualified Mori Horoa to help us sort them through. In terms of the obligation for bitachon, there is a very beautiful passage in the Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma is commenting, if you have the sources in front of you, it's the very first source, is commenting on the Pasuk, on the phrase in the Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim of Uvo Sidbak, generally translated as clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He begins by reviewing the seemingly different interpretations given by the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam quoting the Drashas Chazal that Uvo Sidbak means that a person should attach himself to Talmidei Chachamim, the assumption being that Talmidei Chachamim, by virtue of their Torah, are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in connecting oneself, in clinging to Talmidei Chachamim, hence we're at least part of a chain which links to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ramban, he reviews, says that this refers to Yechidei Skula, an elite few who are just so oriented and geared towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything they do and everything they think about, that the Shechina attaches itself to them. And then he says, if you take a look here in line 4 of that first source that you have, Omnam Ladaiti, to my mind, says the Meshech Chochmah, he mitzvah pratis kolalas kol anshei ha'umah. It's a very specific mitzvah, but it encompasses all of us. Kol echad lefi erko, everyone according to his station in life. V'zeh masha lo matzono b'Torah rak v'mozim aleho. Other than this pasuk, we only find hints to this mitzvah. V'zeh imyan habitochem. But the mitzvah of Levo Sidbach, for the Meshech Chochmah, contains the mandate to have a sense of bitochen. V'zehu inyan habitochen shehiflig Yirmiyahu v'kila el oru hagever sheyiftach ba'odom v'son bosu zoro. Yirmiyahu underscores the importance, the centrality of having bitochen by cursing a person who places his trust in man and not in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. David b'chol tihilos of Ochazbo, throughout Sefer Tillim, throughout the Psalms, David HaMelech is focused on Bitochen b'Hashem b'tachti, Yisrael b'tach b'Hashem, we just said in Hallel this morning, v'Yishayahu ama b'tchu b'Hashem adayad. Skipping down a few lines, if you see the line that begins Yoshienu around 5-6 lines down, then there's a parenthesis right afterwards. How does the Bitochen trust, which is the sort of the corollary of faith, one has faith, the corollary of that is trust. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with us, is involved with His creation to provide us with our needs, to protect us against sickness, and to make sure we don't suffer from privation, from those things which are necessary. V'zehu, he says in the beginning of the next paragraph, nika uvo sidbok, to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's omnipotent, is aware of all this and provides all our needs. That's the mitzvah of uvo sidbok. Exactly how does he see that in the words of uvo sidbok? So basically, it's according to the Meshech Chochmah, it's similar, I think, to the colloquialism we have. Let's say you're accompanying someone to a place where you're very unfamiliar. Maybe it's a foreign country and you don't speak the language, or it's just a very crowded place and you don't know your way around. So the person says to you, "Stick with me, and you'll be okay." And that's an English colloquialism. Basically, according to the Meshech Chochmah, that more or less conforms to what the understanding of a Avos Sidbach is. Stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sense of stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you'll be okay. Stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of everything that concerns you, everything that worries you, everything that challenges you. Stick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Place your trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you'll be okay. According to the Meshech Chochmah, again, the obligation to have a sense of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mandated by the Torah in the Pasuk of Avos Sidbach. Now the truth is, arguably, a little bit of a perhaps subtle point, arguably, one could take the position that we don't need to find a Pasuk which contains the mandate for this obligation to have a sense of a trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to give a moshel. In the second source that you have in front of you, it's on the second page, on the other side, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked whether or not there's a mitzvah for Gentiles to daven. So So he says, well, clearly, routinely, there is no such mitzvah for a Gentile to daven. It's not listed anywhere in the Gemara Sanhedrin or in the Rambam and Hilchos Melachim amongst the mitzvahs which are incumbent upon Bnei Noach. It's not one of the Noachide commandments. But then he says, there's a very fascinating caveat to this. It's the, I guess it's the fourth paragraph here in that right-hand column, beginning of Onirul Aniyaz Daiti. It appears to me, says Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that that which I've said until now, that there is no obligation upon a Gentile to daven, who rak l'kvoa chiyav l'hisfalel af k'she'en lo tzorach miyuchad l'vakesh ezadover. That means routinely. On a daily basis, routinely, there is no obligation. Aval k'shem mispalel rak k'she'yesh lo tzorach k'gon she'yesh lo chole o she'en lo parnosa hu k'chiyav mamash. He says, but if there's some kind of vital need, maybe it even rises to the level of a crisis, maybe there's someone close to him, near and dear, who's sick, maybe Rahman al-Islam, the person is unemployed and has no source of livelihood, then Ravashi says he thinks that it's a mitzvah incumbent even upon Bnei Noach, even upon Gentiles to daven. But where did he get it from? He himself just reviewed for us that it's not mentioned anywhere that there is such an obligation. So he continues and he explains. V'lo kosher in line 3 in that fourth paragraph, mimasha lo hechshiv zeh l'mitzvah miyuchedes b'chiyuv b'nei Noach. And my position is not refuted by the fact that we don't find this mitzvah detailed in the list of mitzvahs incumbent upon Bnei Noach, mishum dezehu ikar ha'emuna b'Hashem yizbarach, shirak hu hanosein parnasa v'harofei cholim, u'ksheeno boteach al Hashem yizbarach v'eino mispal elav, harehu ke'eno manin bo u'manin b'dvarim acherim. Says of Moshe, anyone who genuinely believes in Hashem, and that's a universal obligation, the obligation to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises a divine providence over the world, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of one's livelihood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of refuah. Anyone who genuinely believes that, when he's in need of that refuah, when he's in need of that parnasa, will call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Again, the phrase that we're all familiar, there are no atheists in foxholes. If a person genuinely believes, so then it surfaces in times of crisis. A person cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says that Moshe's sins, Bnei Noach, are also obligated to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize, to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's supposed to be the source of their observance of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So that has to translate. If there is a genuine belief, so that must translate, and it must express itself, again, through crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when one needs. So one could easily make a similar argument with regard to the obligation to have a sense of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't need necessarily to be able to find a specific pasuk in the Torah which encapsulates this mandate to have a sense of betachon. Again, as Rav Moshe says, the yesod ha-yesodos of everything is our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that belief is genuine, so then that belief has to translate into a sense of betachon, into a sense of trust of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in very practical and concrete ways. So let's perhaps now try to give a couple of examples that we find in Chazal, in the Rishonim, in the Achronim, of some of the tangible applications and implementations of this obligation to have a sense of the Tachan, and again, and hopefully that will sensitize us to the countless situations and in our lives where we need to try to make this shikul, this judgment of how exactly should my chiyuv b'tochen, my obligation to have the sense of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, express itself. The first one we'll look at is in source number 3, is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, Acha sheyetze, in source number 3, Acha sheyetze mibeis haKnesset, when a person leaves Shul in the morning, right, the assumption is that everyone's coming and davening the tzibur in Shul, no one's davening at home, everyone's in Shul. So that's the point of the parsha here. Everyone was in Shul for Shachris. Acha sheyetze mibeis haKnesset, yelech lebeis haMezush. So before one goes to work, so one should first go and have a set learning period. The yitpa eis lulmod. And there should be a kviyas itim. And what kviyas itim means, the mechaber elaborates, v'tzorach she'oso os eis yiyah kavua. That time has to be sacrosanct for learning. However long it is, it has to be sacrosanct for learning. What does that mean? Shaloya avirenu, that a person cannot trade it in. A person cannot bypass that set hours, however long it is for the person, his learning time, he can't bypass that. Af im husavu lahaviyah harbe. Even if he thinks that there's a golden opportunity to make a killing, to earn a lot of money, and one could easily rationalize, one might have thought that it's a correct calculation. So if I'll skip my Kriyas Itim this morning, and I'll be able to clinch this business deal, which needs to be attended to right now, point in the time that I usually go to the daf or whatever my seder for learning is. So ultimately that will pay dividends in terms of my learning also. Maybe I won't have to work as hard. Maybe I'll retire a little bit younger. So says the Mechaber, even if husavur, and reasonably, we're not talking about that he's dreaming, even if reasonably he anticipates husavur lahaviyah harbe. Take a look in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a very, very beautiful, very, very powerful Yerushalmi. Lahaviyah Harbe, if you see it, it's source 4 in front of you. Lahaviyah Harbe, v'ish kazeh hu mibale amono, shema'anin uboteach v'asher. Such a person who, again, brings himself, it's a Nisayon, it's a very big Nisayon, but a person who is able to comply with this se'if, with this paragraph in Shulchan Aruch, is a person who has faith and who trusts and who genuinely trusts in Hashem. And what do his actions bespeak here? His actions bespeak a conviction, shelo yechsa lo mezonosav al yedei zeh. The fact that the client tells them that I can meet you only right now, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, which is when he has his seder kavua for learning, and that's the only time I have to negotiate this deal with you. So he's convinced that his parnasa, his livelihood will not be adversely affected by his not going to the meeting. Ukedeisa v'Yerushalmi, my anshei amana. Yerushalmi says, what's an illustration of someone who is genuinely a person of faith? And again, a person of faith, the corollary of faith is bitachon, is trust in Hashem. Kehadol, like this person, behavu tzavchen le'bik pragmatya. He gives the translation, shehayu tzavchim hakonim sheyavo im schoroso limkor. There were customers who were in a rush, who wanted to make a big order, and said that we need to be able to buy immediately. And he was in the middle of his morning kriyas, his morning learning seder. The Havi Omar, and his response was, Les anam mevatel onasi. Right underneath it is the translation from the Korban Eida, Ein ani mevatel hashor shekavati lilmod haTorah. I'm not going to let anything interfere, because this is my hour, this is my period, which is sacrosanct for learning. Ma dechami lemeisei meisei. Back again to the Korban Eida underneath it, who gives the translation, In ro'u sheyovo li revach,
If it's Basher, if it's HaKadosh Baruch who wants me to gain this profit,
then he's going to send it to me without my disrupting my regular learning period, which is supposed to be sacrosanct. So here is our first, again, very practical and tangible application of the Chi of the Tochen. And notice how the din requires not only that a person be willing to, we might have had the same din, which says, go to the Daf Yomi Shir, don't go to the business meeting, but be willing to make that sacrifice for your Kriyas Yitzchak. Be willing to make that sacrifice that, yeah, maybe you're going to lose out on that fifth, on clinching that $100,000 deal. But it's interesting that what the Yerushalmi says is, not only is a person not go, but he does it with a conviction that it's not, he's not going to be adversely affected by that sacrifice. He does it as an expression of Betachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the halacha says, as it does, that my Kriyas Yitzchak can't be disrupted for this unforeseen meeting, so then I have to have, the challenge is to have this sense of Betachon of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm not going to be losing out on that account. Let's take a look at the next source. It's source 5, and then the bottom of the right-hand column here on the second page. Another, again, very practical application. Most of the applications we're going to look at are in the area of Parnassa and finances. So, Amar Rav and Bar Avado, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kol Rogil Lava LeBeis HaKnesses V'lo Bo Yom Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashuva. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes attendance. If a person is a regular at Minyan, and one morning he doesn't show up, so Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu inquires, no, where's like a Rebbe, when one of the Talmidim is absent from Shir. They ask, no, what's with the uncle today? Where is he? Just parenthetically, this is not our topic tonight, but it's a fascinating one. I think it's in the Tziv comments, in his commentary in Chumash, seems like because he's a regular, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu notes his absence. The spotlight is shined on him. Sounds like if he never shows up in Shul, he gets away with it. But if he's a regular, and Punk this morning didn't, so then he's going to get called to the principal's office. So who's the Yosha? Why is that there? So the Tziv says a very, very important principle he has elsewhere as well. He says that as a person achieves different stations in life, different spiritual stations, so then expectations rise. If a person has already internalized, understood the importance of Tzivah V'Tzibur, to the extent that, to the degree that he gets himself out of bed every morning, on time and comes to show that once a person is on that madrega, so then the expectations rise accordingly. And that's always the case. As the person continues to grow, so then the challenge is ever present because expectations continue to rise again in accordance with a person's attainments, accomplishments, so that a person can never coast. Okay, at any rate, So the minyan regular is absent one morning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashil bo. Shenema mivachem yirei Hashem shomer b'kol avdo asher holach hashechem ve'ein nogalo. Now, so what happens as a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's inquiry? Im l'dvar mitzvah halach nogalo. If he's not there, you have to be busy with the chveis, with kibbut of ve'ein this morning, or some chesed, or some other dvar mitzvah, and that's why he couldn't be in Minyan. So Nogalo. Noga is light. Im l'dvar ha-reshus halach. Now the Marsha says here that this dvar ha-reshus means parnasa. Wants to get into the office earlier than usual this morning. So because of that, he skips Minyan. He skips Tvila v'tzibur. So then, ein Nogalo. Im l'dvar ha-reshus, on the top of the left-hand column, but if it's for a Dvar Rishus, again, what is that Dvar Rishus? I think it's the Maharsha who translates that we're talking about something Parnassa related. So then, ein lo galo. So then, it's not good for him. Why? Because yiftach b'shem Hashem. My time. Why are we so critical of him? Yishum dahavale liftach b'shem Hashem v'lo batach. Again, a very practical application and clear directive based on the chiyuv b'tachon. The chiyuv b'tachon should translate into that it can't be that I think it's necessary to omit tefillah b'tzibur to accomplish something professionally. If everything is rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's siyata d'shmai, divine assistance, so how can it be that I'm going to get things done at work by skipping minyan in the morning? Again, a very clear directive. The Chofetz Chaim writes, and I'm sorry, I neglected to include this in the list of sources, so you don't have it in front of you. Chofetz Chaim writes that if a person engages in any illicit activities to earn his panosa, if a person cheats on taxes or in any other whatever it is, so in addition to whatever self-contained isurim are involved in that behavior, he says it's just a lack of betochen. He says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only way HaKadosh Baruch Hu can figure out to give me however much money I need to cover my expenses this year is with my cheating on taxes and engaging in all kinds of other illicit behavior. He says that Ein l'cha chesaron betochen gadol mizeh. There's no greater contradiction. Nothing is more antithetical to a sense of betochen than when a person violates halacha in his pursuit of parnasa. Okay, let's see a couple of other, again, applications and directives based on the chiyuv b'tochen. The next one is the example is a little anachronistic, but we'll have to try to extrapolate the kernel here. If you take a look in source number 6, Rabbeinu Bachya in Chovos Halvavos in Shar HaBitochon tells the following story. V'nema al echad min ha'kushin. Ki holach al eretz v'choka levakesh ha'teref v'tchilas pishuso. That he used to travel overseas, and again, let's bring to mind what overseas travel meant in medieval times. It didn't just mean not having enough leg room and being a little crutched with your elbows by the guy sitting next to you in economy class. Upaga adam echad me'ovdei kachovim ba'ir. And when he was overseas, say he met an idolater. Amar lo ha'parush. So the devout one says to the idolater, Kama atem betachlis ha'ivaron umiya tahavona ba'avodasa mekochavim. You're so blind in your idolatrous way of life. Amaloha angushi. So the idolater says, retort, umata ovet, and whom do you worship? Whom do you serve? Amaloha parash, the parash tells them, the chosid tells them, ani oved habore hayochol, I serve the omnipotent creator, hamechalkel ho'echad, hamatref asher ein kamohu, who mechalkel chayim v'chesed, the one who provides sustenance, the one who provides us with food, that there's no one like him. Amaloha amgushi, so the idolater says back to him, pa'olcha soser zvarecha. Your actions belie your words. Your actions contradict your words. How so? Amlo aporish v'heich. How so? Amlo ilu hoya masha amata emes. If what you said were true, hoya matrifcha v'ircha. So why are you traveling overseas and risking your life if what you said is true, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as you depict him and you sincerely believe it? So then, he would provide sustenance for you without your risking life and limb and engaging in such a profession where you risk your life. And the ordeal, the arduous journey of traveling halfway around the world, or however far they traveled in those days, and the Chovetz Chaim concludes that he accepted that that mussar, that rebuke from the idolater. So presumably, if the Chovetz Chaim were writing today, I don't think he would say that you can't go out of town on business. I don't think he would say that. But I think he certainly would say. That there are certain types of hishtadlus, certain types of initiative that we're not supposed to undertake. We're not supposed to. I think it is very much in keeping with the Chovetz Chaim that if there are certain professions which are known to be just so demanding in terms of the time commitment to the profession, so I think the Chovetz Chaim would say so. The Ribbono Shel Olam can only support you with a 70-hour work week, with an 80-hour work week. If you think the Ribbono Shel Olam is kol yochel, is omnipotent, it's true that you're supposed to take initiative and you're supposed to make effort. But presumably, again, that also it has to be reflected that we think it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another application, presumably, of this Chovetz Chaim, again, an updated application, is that if a person is looking for a position, and he hears of a position in some place where there's no Jewish community, he's not going to have a shul to daven in, he's not going to have a school to be mechanech his children. So again, presumably, the Chovetz Chaim would have the amgushi, would have the idolater telling us, Ilu hoya masha mata emes, so one shouldn't assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to go out to some spiritual wasteland in pursuit of our panos. The next source in the Mesillas Yesharim makes much the same point. If you're actually skipping one source, I'm sorry, source number 8 in the Mesillas Yesharim, Perek Chof Aleph. Mesillas Yesharim is talking about things which interfere, which impede one's pursuit of chassidus, of piety, and he says that foremost amongst them had tirdos v'had the ogos, the first line in source number 8. The all kinds of involvements and preoccupations and obligations and concerns. Kibiyos ha-sechel torud v'nechpad b'da ogosav uba asokav. If a person's mind is churning 24/7 or at least 24/6, on all his dealings, iyashala lifnos al hahizbonus hazeh, a person won't be able to free himself. He won't have the chance to be able to reflect the type of reflection needed for pursuit of chassidus, of piety, of devotion. Skipping to the next paragraph, Omno Masha Yuchal Lishmo es Ha'odom Ula Hatzilo Min Hamasidim Ha'ele. What can safeguard a person and what can save him from these again detracting and distracting forces? Hu Habitochem is if a person has trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How so? For Hu Sheyashlech Yehovah Al Hashem Legamer. Right, paraphrasing David HaMelech, that a person casts his burden entirely upon Hashem. Kasha Yeda, when a person knows that it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stipulates that we have to make hishtadlus, we have to put in our effort, we have to take initiative, but that notwithstanding, if we do that, if we satisfy that obligation, it's impossible that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allocated to us will not be forthcoming. Ukemosha Amru Zal, which is the source you have above in number 7, Kol Mizonosav Shel Odom Tzuvah Lo Merosh Hashanah Vad Yom HaKippurim. A person's income is decreed when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in judgment on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu allocates panosa to everyone. Again, it's conditional on our making reasonable hishtadlus, but if we put in our reasonable hishtadlus, it's guaranteed. Says the Maseiros Yesharim, if a person will have that sense of betochen, again, it will chase away all the, again, diversions and distractions of undue involvement with pursuit of parnosa. Well, let's take a look at that previous source again for a moment. The Gemara actually elaborates a little bit more. Sils Hashem, it wasn't relevant to what he wanted, so he didn't quote that part. But take a look here in source 7 for a moment. Tani Rav Tachlifa Achved Rav Noi Chozoa. Kol mizonosav shel odem k'tzuvim lo merosh hashanah vad yom ha'kippurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu again allocates a budget for everyone for the year. How much panasa we're all going to receive over the course of the year. Chutz, with the following exception. Mehotzah shabosos, vehotzah yomto, vehotzah zban of the Talmud Torah. She'im tiches pochsano v'im hosif mosifano. With the exception of Shabbos expenses, Yom Tov expenses, and Hotzah is one of the Talmud Torah, and paying tuition for Talmud Torah. Here, there's an expense account. Here, it's on the company. These expenses, they're on the company. Which means, again, in terms of the Chiyuv B'Tochen, so sometimes there's a Yetzer Hara, which says in difficult economic times, so maybe it's not so necessary to send children to yeshiva. Tuition is so exorbitant. So I'm not going to send. So this is no, what we're saying now is not intended to suggest that every effort shouldn't be made to control the tuition costs. But when push comes to shove, when a parent is confronted with that, so then a parent has to know there's an expense account for Hotzah Zvon of the Talmud Torah. And that's also a very clear and tangible expression of the Tochen. To the extent, again, presumably when one's paying for a double program, so not the entire tuition is Hotzah Zvon of the Talmud Torah, but prorating for that, but certainly to an extent, what one's paying in tuition is on expense account. It's on the company expense account. It's not coming out of one's own pocket. But before we see one or two last sources, let's just review what we've seen until now. We saw the Yerushalmi about not interfering with one's Kriyas Yitzhak, even if there's a very, very special business opportunity. The Maharsha's understanding of the Gemara and Brachos, not to run out, not to skip the Tefillah B'Tzibur, because one is in pursuit of Parnasa, that Hayalo Liftoach B'Shem Hashem, that one should be steadfast, firm, in one's sense of Bitochen, the Chovos HaLevavos, that if one has a sense of Bitochen, that ultimately one's Parnos is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whatever, again, initiative and effort, Hishtadlus, we're supposed to make, notwithstanding, ultimately it comes from Hashem, and it's not that we determine our own fate, so then that effort is supposed to be moderate. Because at the end of the day, again, it's fulfilling HaKadosh Baruch Hu's condition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's stipulation for giving us the Parnasa. It's not that. That isn't what determines. Very much similar in the Maseiros Yesharim. the Chafetz Chaim, again, the source is not in front of us right now, that certainly to engage in any, to violate any Isurim in one's pursuit of Panasa is the antithesis of the Tochen, and the Gemara in Beitza, that there are certain expenses that for which we're given an expense account. If you take a look on the last page for a moment, if you see the Chafetz Chaim in his Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, so the paragraph that begins Va'agav Neva'er, he says, let's discuss a little bit the quality of Bitochen, and then in line 5 of that paragraph, he says V'chein b'nesinas hatzdoka. When it comes to giving tzedaka, so again, this is also a very practical challenge in terms of our bitachon being manifest. V'chadome me'inyanei ha-mitzvahs, other mitzvah-related expenses. Asher yeroeh l'chora hefzeh l'odam ayidei zeh b'mamono. You give tzedakah, you have less money. You have less money. That would seem to be very evident. V'hayetzah hara mesiso leimo, and the yetzah hara sort of tries to convince a person, pen ma'aseh ba'achrisim lo eshtadel b'yoseh b'inyan eskai. V'chein, skipping 2 lines, minasinas hatzdok al yidei tainus elu v'chadome lozeh. Whatever money one gives to tzedakah, one could have put into an IRA. So maybe we all hope to live a long life, and we all hope to reach an age where we retire, and we're going to need savings. So every money which every penny which a person gives to tzedakah is a penny diverted from an IRA. It's a penny diverted from savings. So says the Chafetz Chaim. So that's what the Yetzer Hara says. But if a person has a sense of bitachon, lekach bo hakosuv kemasir bitach b'Hashem, shehu bevada yashin lechosar ro'i lovel lechav asay tov. If a person without the bitachon, a person is going to be inhibited from the asay tov. A person has that sense of bitachon, he knows that he's not going to lack, he's not going to suffer from privation in old age because of tzedakah that he gave when he was younger. Again, here too, the Chafetz Chaim doesn't review it in this context. I mean, Chazal do place a cap, unless one is fabulously wealthy, so Chazal do place a cap of 20%, so clearly he means within that again, this is another area in which the obligation to have a sense of bitachon translates very, very practically, very concretely. Just like to conclude with one other point, and that is that the chi of bitachon, the obligation to have a sense of bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't only translate into, again, specific actions, but also attitudes. And just to give two illustrations of that. On the top half of the fourth page, the top half of the fourth page is a zerach from a sefer called Bitochen v'Hishtadlus. Some of these sources are drawn from that sefer. I think even the sources that weren't drawn from there are probably discussed in the sefer. It's a very comprehensive sefer about this topic. So in that sefer, he quotes there, if you'll take a look in footnote 11, he quotes from the Ktsos, who writes in his in the introduction to his youthful work, Shev Shmaitza. He has a very beautiful explanation. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that the Shosh HaMachnis and Adam Ladin, when a person gives his ultimate accounting before the Kisei HaKavod, so he's asked a number of questions. The first question that he's asked is Nasasa v'Nasata be'emunah, which is generally understood, did you conduct business faithfully? Did you cheat in business affairs? Or were you straight in business affairs? The Ksos says Nasasa v'Nasata be'emunah means more as well. What it means is that when you conducted business, did you think that it was that it was going to be your business smarts which were going to procure panasa for you? Or did you do it with emunah? Or did you think, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to put in effort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take initiative, but it's be'emunah, it's nasasa masada be'emunah, the source of my livelihood is going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here already, we're not talking about necessarily doing business any differently. If one invests in the market, so you can't just close your eyes and put your finger on which stock to buy. Some of you have to read up. Part of the hishtablus, part of the effort that you're supposed to invest is to be knowledgeable or pretend to be knowledgeable about the stocks. But it's not sort of nasadu be'emunah. We're never supposed to, again, so the effort is the same. The effort is the same. You can have two people, two traders, just standing side by side on the floor of the exchange, and the efforts are the same. But one of them is nasasa v'nasata be'emunah. So the chiyuv b'tochen also translates again into an attitude that one has towards the efforts that one is supposed to put forth. Subsequently, in the footnote, he says that basically the Chovetz Halvavos already articulated this idea. And finally, in speaking about bitachon as a sense of attitude, so it's not only, again, everything we discussed is not limited to the finances. That was just one area in which there are more sources, and it was easier to illustrate what we're talking about. But of course, bitachon is something which goes across the spectrum of our entire lives. So if you take a look on the third page for a moment at source number 12. Source number 12 is a well-known Mishnah in the Mishnah of the last parak of Maseches Brachos, where the Mishnah says that Chayiv Adam Levarech Al HaRoah Kishem Shemavarech Al HaTovah. Just as one makes a bracha on good tidings, so too one is obligated to make a bracha on bad tidings, Rachman al-Islam. Parenthetically, there's a lack of symmetry in the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah should have said either Chayav Odom Levayach al-Ara'a Kishem Shechayav Levayach al-Atova, or it should have said Mevarech Odom al-Hara'a Kishem Shemevarech al-Atova. There's a lack of symmetry there. So my father, Zichrono Livracha, would often quote his father, Zichrono Livracha, as saying that the reason is men bleib b'chayiv, is that to be mevayach al hatova is something we actually do. People actually mevayach al hatova with tremendous kavana and heartfelt. Mevayach al hara'a is something we chayiv to do, but it's not so pashut to do. It usually remains in the realm of obligation, not necessarily fully implemented. At any rate, so that's the din of the Mishnah. Okay, so if you look right underneath it, the Gemara comments, what is this kishen, this equation? My chayiv levayach al ra'a kishen shemevayach al ha'tova. It doesn't mean that you say the same bracha, because we know that on good tidings, which affect not only oneself, but others as well, you make ha'tova ha'meitiv. In the case of bad, tragic tidings, Rachmanu Litzlan, Dayan ha'emes, so Omer Rava, what it means is that you're supposed to say the bracha with the same attitude. And what's that attitude? An attitude of simcha. Simcha? Over ra'a? So take a look at Rashi. Again, this also is something which is worth thinking about, and its implications and repercussions beyond tonight's topic. Rashi says, "Lekabelinu b'simcha, levayach al midas peronas b'lev of shalem." Rashi here defines that simcha means a sense of wholeheartedness. a sense of equanimity. That's what it means to be besimcha. And that what the Gemara is saying in explicating the Mishnah is that, and again, this also clearly is rooted in a sense of betochen, that whatever befalls a person, what's self-inflicted is self-inflicted. Okay, so maybe I did something foolish and I'm paying the consequences. But what's not self-inflicted, but what befalls a person, so then a person is supposed to, again, the attitude which betochen dictates is that a person should be b'lev of shalom. I had my eye on this job. I applied for this position. I was convinced that this was the position that was best for me, that this I'd be able to accomplish. I didn't get it. I had my eye, I put in a bid on this house. I thought that would be the best place for my family to be. I was, whatever it is I was trying to accomplish, and I was thwarted. So then a person has a sense of betochen. Again, here it translates again, not necessarily action, but reaction, but attitude. And that what the attitude which the chiyuv of betochen dictates is this attitude of b'lev of shalem, that a person is has a sense of equanimity about it. Because if, as a person knows through his betochen, through his sense of trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happened wasn't happenstance, it wasn't accidental, it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then a person will be b'lev of shalem. I hope that maybe some of these illustrations, obviously just the tip of the iceberg, maybe it will sort of stimulate us to look and see in all areas of life if our betochen is being applied and translated practically, concretely, as it should be, and halavai, we should be zochet to zatach Hashem, v'aseh tzav.